And when you start to think that you're the one, and you think that you're the one in control, and you understand right and wrong, and all this other stuff, I mean, that's, you've crossed the line. We're no longer talking about Christianity. We're talking about something else. It's 2 o'clock in the morning right here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. But it's perverted.
That was like 10 years ago when we went down and embedded.
Oh, yeah. When we did some embedded journalism at the International House of Prayer. Over there on G-View Road.
We went down there. Yeah, we went down there like 2 in the morning. We tailgated for a while, and then we went in and mingled.
For the...
They were just dancing.
24-hour...
Yeah, 24-7.
They were just dancing.
They're, like, right now, you can go out there, and they're still beating a drum.
They have
like
a keytar.
Drum circle.
They have a keytar.
You can just walk up and they start playing an instrument.
Anything. They have a drum room, the glass wall, and...
But you don't have to bring your own instrument.
No.
So, like, if one wanted to learn, you could go and practice,
kind of? Kind of. I mean, it's kind of like a never-ending open mic. I mean, I'm sure if you weren't any good, they'd chase you out of there real quick.
You're like, listen, we don't do Stairway to Heaven here.
Yeah, no.
I thought this would be the very place.
You got to listen to the lyrics, bro. It's not what you think it is.
I've listened to the lyrics recently.
I'm just joking.
I was going to say, it's... It almost could be a contemporary Christian song.
It's way more. It's a much better song when you play it backwards.
There's that problem.
If there's a bustle in your hedgerow, it's just a spring clean for the May
Queen.
Well,
see, but all that stuff is metaphor for what?
Sex. It's Led Zeppelin. Having sex.
You say it's sex.
Absolutely.
I was trying to pour sex into it, and I didn't get it. I mean, seriously, I was trying to. If there's a bustle in your hedgerow. It's just a spring clean for the man.
Robert
just
Plant like, spent the entire out. 70s with his pants about to fall off. Have you ever seen a picture of the guy? I mean, he's literally his little crumpets about to pop out of his tea party. And I mean, the whole thing was about sex. The whole thing, but I don't know. I mean, you know, they probably would tell you to no Stairway. You're supposed to, if you were going to play contemporary Christian, you know, music, it's supposed to be mindless garbage.
That's not exactly true. I've heard some. I mean, because my wife listens to some of that.
Talking about like DC Talk.
I don't know who all the people are because I don't.
Debbie Gibson.
I just don't listen. Debbie Gibson. That was like a pop '80s girl.
Well, she actually went.
Did she go?
She went to the other side. She does
to the Christian music deal.
She does those kind of records in Dallas now.
Huh.
After her adult film career ended.
Did she do adult films too?
No, I don't know about that last part.
I was in the army with a guy who claimed to know her.
You were in the army, Mike?
That's another.
Yeah, I was about to say
story.
A lot of angles about you, man.
There's a lot.
Turned out you had flat feet. What happened?
It was. I actually got injured. Do I want to talk? I got injured before, like the second day I was there.
Feel good for you.
We're wrestling around, and I spent.
I spent
2 months in a recuperative troop, right, for people who had gotten hurt at various levels of basic training, and I had no basic training. But I was in there with the guy, I swear you, this guy, Furman, I still don't know how
Mark
someone...
Furman?
No, no.
Was it Mark Furman?
I still don't know how someone could... exist on this planet to get to be almost 20 years old and not know how to work a washing machine. Like, he has impacted me to this day. Like, all of my children, at 7 years old, my children knew how to work their washing machine. Because this guy is in an army barracks. This is way more than scout camp. You're not going home to mommy. And he's like, hey, guys, how's this washing machine work? You know, like, I don't know, just a helplessness. But anyway, he claimed to been homies with Debbie Gibson.
Hmm.
She was already a has-been by 88.
I mean, just like everyone in prison's innocent, right?
She hadn't yet
Can I do
made
a shout-out to Jimmy, my man Jimmy, sitting in his car listening?
I think you just did.
I just did it.
I
What's
think
up,
you just
Jay?
Did. Yeah, with Jimmy Jams. All right, we're going to take a quick musical break. We'll be back after I fill my coffee cup right here on the Paragon Radio program.
Diamond rings and petticoats, burlap bags and billy goats, creamy corn sausage and gravy. the new war zone. 20 foot of sugar cane in his hand. Wrapped and sleeping in a box. Holds a picture of a silver fox. Sun is falling in the western sky. To the rites of age. Rich was lost in radios like cowboys leaving rodeos. The sun is falling in the western sky. Wrinkle in the twinkle of his eye.
Song of Lime Juice and Despair. That's Shiny Ribs. He'll be at the Folk Alliance coming up at the end of this month at the Weston Crown Center, the Folk Alliance. You can find out more information about the Folk Alliance at folkoff.org. No, I'm just joking. It's folkalliance.org. But, you know, who isn't down for a good old-timey folk off? I love to do it. I love to
folk-off. I actually would love to go check that out.
You absolutely should.
Didn't you say that those cats to do what's called are going to be there?
Who do
the gin and juice? Song?
No, just the one guy.
The one guy.
From the courts.
Where? At Crown Center?
Yeah, at the Folk Alliance. At the 2014 International Folk Alliance.
Oh, that's
Alliance.
Not down in Riverside, River Market, whatever.
No, it's at the Western Crown Center.
Okay, I'm slow. You said that.
Yeah, it's like a conference. Graham Nash is going to be there as well, but you don't have to see him to see Shiny Ribs.
Mm. He used to play with your boy, right?
No, my boy used to play, you know, around him.
Did you get Cross, the new album?
No, I missed it. Yeah. Not going to pick that one up at all. But, yeah, so Folk Alliance. That's a good way to support, you know, your...
The local folks.
Yeah, the local folks at the Folk Alliance. You can go see some Shiny Ribs because it's pretty awesome. All right, so 9 minutes after the hour of two. If you want to call in, please do 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI. Just because it's Pledge Drive doesn't mean I will berate you as to why you have not donated any of your money. We can just have a conversation about pederasty or the Super Bowl. It's kind of, yeah. You know, there's a show I saw. Every once in a while I see a little bit of TV. There's a reality TV show called Friday Night Tykes. And it's about, like, literally.
Tykes?
Yeah,
is it
literally
kids watching football or playing
football? No, 5-year-old kids in full pads playing tackle football. It looked like they were 5-year-old.
Sandlot stuff.
I mean, you know, I heard that the coach of a major university that is very local to here would not let his own children. The head football coach of a major university that is within 100 miles of Kansas City, would not let his own children play football until they were in college themselves because of all the damage that gets incurred on a young body. I mean, starting, you know, if you're playing. When do they start playing tackle football? I mean, 5 is awfully young. They start playing
like
tackle football.
There's a lot that do.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot that do that. Start real young like that. Right. I mean, that viral video was of an 8-year-old girl that, like, ran it back in a game of against a bunch of boys.
Right.
And so it's, I mean, yeah, and you're Texas and you're Oklahoma.
Oh, hell, you're anywhere.
And you're Independence or you're Johnson County. You're right. They have those big football fields out there that they.
Oh, guys get in so, you know, so into it and want their kids to. I mean, it's scary having a kid and taking them to. I mean, my oldest did soccer. My oldest is not going to be an athlete. And I know right. that. He knows that, too. His mother just seems to want to continue to push him to be an athlete. He's not an athlete, though, but that's okay. You know, you got to push him to be something. He's not a competitive athlete. He's right. he's a great cyclist. You know, is that a sport, though? This is America. Not really. So,
well, as you were pointing out to me last week, competitive walking.
Yeah, no, that is a sport. That's an Olympic sport, competitive walking.
You could get your kid into that.
I think you have to be an Asian woman. I don't know why I think that, but I think that might be true. But, you know, just think about that, that even the head coach of a major football university program right. won't let his young – he had his children play soccer. Because soccer is not as much of a contact sport.
Right.
And you get all the hand-eye coordination, all the, you know, I mean, the soccer, everyone knows that soccer's a little effeminate, a little European, but it's getting very popular. And, you know, I mean, the reality is that it's, I mean, it's a, say, I mean, it's, mm-hmm. it's a game that adults are finally starting to recognize is one of merit, I guess. I mean, because it was always one that children loved to play, and now adults are really getting into it. And if you want to be the fan of a champion sports team in Kansas City, it's kind of your only route to go.
Sporting, KC.
It is. Because, you know, if the Chiefs had made it to the Super Bowl, I think it would have looked something like the Broncos having made it to the Super Bowl. An absolute slaughter. I mean, think about that, Chiefs fans. You know, you saw what it would be like to have the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
No.
Yeah. Oh, you think it would be
No, because they scored. It'd be like Denver 80, scored once.
It'd be 86 to like 3.
That was kind of a bummer. I didn't even see the score. When did they score?
It was in the third quarter.
It was during a commercial.
Yeah. Right. It had to have been.
It was during a commercial. That's when they scored. All right. So, yeah, but it's, I mean, it's scary with the, what parents. You know, when my eldest played soccer this last time, and one of the other parents was crazy. I mean, he was truly crazy.
Trying to
get him. Screaming at his kid. And I'm just like,
you got to dig,
kid. You know, making me feel bad because I'm not screaming at my kid.
Well, my oldest was
buddy, just scream at my kid for me, would you?
Yeah, well, my oldest, we signed him up for T-ball, and he was out in the... He was out in the field just kind of wandering around, not paying attention. He didn't care one bit. And that's okay, because that was the whole point. It was like, is this something that you even care about? Sorry about that, folks.
Good job, Mike. Didn't you see the sign that said turn your cell phone off?
I moved way over there so that would not happen.
It said, please turn your cell phone off.
Thought we had a fire alarm. No, I played football and baseball when I was a kid, and it seems to me, although... You'd probably disagree, but it seems to me that for a little kid, a little guy, baseball would be the real dangerous sport. Because, I mean, you know, with
the ball flying out of the air.
You get in high school,
in
it's
head.
Different. You know, you got these big athletes coming out, but a bunch of 9-year-olds tackling each other with a lot of pads on.
Right.
Not like you're out there. I mean, I could see your oldest out there waving at his mom with a fly ball goes.
Right.
Know?
That's what I was worried about with my son.
You know, like it doesn't really hurt when you get hit in the helmet right. with a football.
But on the other side, there
baseball
was this
can
kid.
Do some damage.
There was a kid there at like, I mean, he was literally in kindergarten, and there was a kid that there was a dad sitting out there going like, "You know what to do? You know what to do? Like the play's at first." And this kid was like out there like on it, like grounding the ball and you know scrambling everywhere, and yeah, okay. But that's like what you teach your kid. That's just I can't imagine teaching my kid to be that anal about the sport at that young age.
Yeah, no, you have to be crazy like that.
Right.
To instill that into your kid. But it's a little much because it's supposed to be a win-win. It's supposed to be people, you know, you're supposed to
have fun.
Get a little and learn how a team works. The team doesn't work when, you know, parents are individually screaming at their kids to, you know, pay attention. Keep
you always hear stories about little league games where parents get into it in the parking lot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Or where they attack the umpire. gang up on the umpire in the parking lot and mess him up because, you know, bad calls and stuff.
That's just utterly ridiculous over a game. I mean, but yeah, you're right. They do it. They're very, very serious about it.
And, you know, you'd like to think, you know, it's an American thing. I mean, Jesus Christ, in Colombia, they kill people for playing the game of soccer incorrectly. I mean, you know, they're, I mean, seriously, you know,
right.
You get killed. And people are lunatics for these sports.
You ever see Eastern Promises?
Mm-mm. Is that a good one?
It's I don't know if it's a good one, but there's a great scene where they're in Europe somewhere and there's a big soccer game and the some guys who are rooting for Team A, they're talking a bunch of trash and then they duck into an alley to have a piss, as they say, and the other guys from the other team come up behind them with switchblades and they're all like 14, 15 years old. Cut their throats.
Oh, there you go.
They make it look like I think it's based on a semi-true story.
Wow. But well, I don't know. Here's a semi-true story, if you can believe the news, right? Like within the last year in South America somewhere, I think it was South America, maybe Africa, where the referee, like, pulls out a pistol and shoots a player,
mm-hmm.
and then the crowd, like,
they pulled him
decapitates
apart.
The referee. Yeah. It's like, that's the Super Bowl for you. I mean, that's like serious fanaticism. Like, it is not that damn deep. It's a game. I just can't even imagine.
That would never happen in a stadium where weed was legal.
Right.
Yeah, I've seen guys get really emotional over a Chiefs game, but not anything like that.
I have gotten really emotional over a Chiefs game. That's why I take it all in stride now.
I mean, Jovan Belcher got that emotional, but it had nothing to do with the football game.
Right. No, when I went to
had something to do
the,
with a little mind game.
I can't remember, was it 96, 97? I think it was the 96, 97 postseason when I went to the Chiefs game, and it was like a blizzard, and it was crazy cold, and they took Rich Gannon out and put the other guy in and lost the game to the Colts. And I stood out I was in the stands for like a full 30 minutes after the game was over.
Rich Gannon played for the Chiefs?
Yeah.
And they lost to the Colts?
They got him, Rich Gannon, like, what was
the dude's
name? And
this was in the
90s? I can't remember.
Because, you know,
the
Chiefs lost to the Colts in 2003 when they had that, when they went 10-0 with Dick Vermeil and Dante Hall. They go first round. They got beat by Peyton Manning.
Right,
and the Colts.
And
this last time they got
beat
by. So is the Colts just their unlucky
team in
the playoffs?
That's one of their things. Yeah, that's one of their things.
Wow, I have two.
I have another specific memory from way back of seeing, because it was like talking about fanaticism and friends. Because I went to see a playoff game, went to watch a game at my friend's house, and his kid, like, they did just the pregame thing. It was a pregame show, or not pregame. What do you call those?
Tailgate.
No, the season before, preseason.
Oh, preseason game.
But they had the little helmets come up, and it was the deal. And I'm sitting there talking with my buddy. We're just getting ready for the game or getting ready to watch the game. And his, like, I think it was like 4 or 5 years old at the time, just comes up. And as soon as he sees the Chiefs helmet and the Colts helmet come on the screen, he just runs up to the screen. He starts going, go, go, go. Like, and I'm sitting there thinking, he's been watching you, his dad, watch football games already, because my buddy was very much into it, as was I, you know. And I mean, like, tonight watching the Super Bowl game, I just watched it at home with the kids, and I was just amazed at the implosion of the Broncos. It was beautiful.
So you said you got you got emotional again tonight.
Yes, it was beautiful to see them losing. And it's funny because I was out for the first quarter and I was listening on the radio and I came in. And I remember pulling into the driveway and thinking, you know, why do I hate the Broncos so much? And obviously, you know, it's the Kansas City rivalry thing. But it's also, I remember like the last time or next to the last time I saw my father, who I don't have a relationship with or whatever. But last I know, he lived in Denver and we were watching that damn Broncos game we were just talking about out in the other room, about the Broncos in 98 won the Super Bowl. And I had not seen my father for many years and have no affinity for him. I don't hate him. I just don't, you know. It's his loss. He missed out on life. He doesn't have his grandkids and all that stuff. But I remember, like, I haven't seen you forever, and all we can talk about is we're sitting here watching the Super Bowl. Is I'm from Kansas City and he's living in Denver and he's talking about how the Broncos are great and I'm hating on the Broncos, and then they win, which only means he gets to gloat, and I'm having daddy issues. You know what I mean? Literally, I'm like going, it's not just about the game. So now I hate the Broncos on a whole deeper level because they took my daddy.
No, that's what I'm saying. People get fanatical about this game. I mean, wow. So you got to watch out for fanatics.
Right.
Doesn't matter if you're in Columbia watching a soccer game or if you're in Grandview going to a evangelical super
right.
church. You got to watch out
this
for the
fanatics.
This
is absolutely the truth. Or if you're trying to walk out of a Cosby concert and you got to deal with the Westboro.
Ah, those people are meaningless.
Those people.
I mean nothing. They mean less than nothing.
Right.
I mean, just think about all the lunatics in the Kansas City metropolitan area.
Right.
I mean, they're the lowest of the low. I mean, Daron Black has a lot, you know, more cogent political agenda. Do you know who Daron Black is?
Oh, that's the dude that is he still running?
Yeah, Sly James. Yeah,
he was going to run for mayor.
He's running for city council.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
because he's the one that pushed Sly off the stage and then said, that's a bunch of BS.
And he's got, you know, the terms of his probation is he's not allowed within like 150 feet of the mayor.
Except during city council meetings.
Oh, gosh. Yes. So, I mean, come on. Daron Black is much more cogent in his political agenda, and nobody's even sure what that is, than, you know, those other
folks.
People.
Right.
Those other
You're
people.
Right. You're right.
They mean nothing.
Right.
Except for to themselves. I mean, it's amazing, too, the programming of that, because there was a guy that infiltrated that despicable church in Topeka. It didn't infiltrate it. He went there to film a documentary. And it's kind of, this guy's name is Louis, what is his last name? He did it for a BBC America or something like that. God, Louis.
I vaguely remember.
It's quite, this guy's a decent journalist. And he goes there to make a documentary about the church, you know, whatever, the group of fanatics.
The family.
And the first guy that he talks to, according, you know, in the documentary that I saw, is a guy who also went there, but like 15 years earlier, to make a documentary about these movies. But he just ended
he
up staying. Yeah, he got roped in. So
that guy's got a point.
there was some, some concern there for this guy. But now he's talking to some of these girls who are part of this, you know, this cult. And by just asking them, like, why do you hate me? And they're, like, trying to tell him why he hates them. And it's just, like, he broke through their programming by just being, like, nice to them.
Right.
You know, because that's really what it is.
That's it. If you ask people what they believe and why they believe it long enough, they come to, like, holes in their own thing.
Which brings us to the Tea Party.
Oh, man.
Which brings us right there. To the Tea Party, because wow,
it's insane to me, and I feel shallow because I know you'll make fun of me, but as we all know, Facebook is a part of life, and it blows my mind when I scrolling through my newsfeed at how many people post quotes by either Michelle Bachmann or Rand Paul or even Ted Nugent. And I'm thinking that there's going to be a punchline, that it's going to be something
right.
funny. But they're posting these things as if, like if you agree. Right on, Ted Nugent. Right on, Michelle Bachmann. I actually got in a kick a few days ago where I was like, well, I hate this girl. I know I do, but I've never really heard her speak for an extended period. So I started watching all these Michelle Bachmann videos, and I'm just like, because I wanted to see. I wanted to see, like,
right.
people
right.
I've known my whole life are like, this girl's right on. I had to listen. And I'm like,
what was it that made you go, she's right on? Right. If it hadn't been
a little argument she had with Bernie Sanders. Did you see that one?
No. I like Bernie Sanders.
Yeah. Yeah. He tore her up.
But, no, he didn't. You gotta ask the right people. They'll be like, nah.
Oh, yeah.
He's a liberal douchebag. And that's the extent of it. Is like not, no, he didn't tear her up. Here's why. It's like, no, wait a second. He did. You know? Yeah. So you just got to keep asking why.
Some creeps out there.
Why do you think Michelle Bachmann
is creeps.
Or Sarah Palin. It's like, how do
but
you
But she's
even,
old news. I mean, Michelle Bachmann is kind of here now. People actually are referencing
they're
her.
They're still listening to this woman.
Yeah, Michelle Bachmann's retiring from Congress, though.
Yeah, because she realizes. I think she realizes, and she probably should have just done like Sarah Palin and just quit. Like, I'm resigning tonight and starting over at Fox tomorrow. So that she could go ahead and cash in while she's still.
Oh, yeah. I mean, did you talk about those statistics last week that you read?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, which, and.
For anyone that doesn't know exactly what Jesse is referencing, because they're not inside of his head, but the fact that there was a poll that was done that they asked questions of domestic policy and politics to people, and then grouped the correct answers based upon the media that they ingested the most, what they got their news from. Now, it should probably not be a big surprise that what do you think? More people got correct answers to a poll question based upon their media. What media do you think that would be? Does that make sense?
Like TV, radio,
What media outlet specific. That somebody got the majority of their news from would give them the knowledge to answer questions about domestic, you know.
So,
you
like,
know,
if you listen to Fox News, you scored lowest on this deal.
As a matter of fact, if you listen, if you got your news from Fox, you scored lower than people who claimed that they didn't watch the news at all.
Wow.
NPR was number one.
Right. That's what, you know.
That's where he was getting at.
Oh, okay.
The Daily Show, I think, was number two. And CNN was number three. And
MSNBC was number four. And then you had no news.
And
then
five
Fox
was
News.
No news. Yeah. And then
that's very, very sad.
Is it sad?
Because I was listening to an analysis.
But that's just confusing what Fox News is.
Right. But it's sad because, like, I was listening to this thing where Larry King was being interviewed by somebody, and he made this point that
CNN should
that
do
it's
cartoons.
All shortening down. Not shortening down. What am I trying to say? Their audiences are decreasing, right? Over the whole spectrum because there's competition of interest. So you got this with the big three, with CNN, MSNBC, and Fox, right? You got this smaller audience, and yes, Fox has a greater audience, but the thing of it is that spread, that Facebook spread, right? Because you got people who are influenced by Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, and Rush Limbaugh, and those guys who don't listen to it. But they do listen to their crazy cousin who every time he gets on Facebook posts.
Seems like a lot of people really listen to Glenn Beck. More so, I think, on TV. Does he have a TV show? I
mean, no, he's doing some kind of web thing. Some kind of web TV channel.
It's insane to me, though, how many people I know
who he's still on the radio.
Used to be right on.
And now
who will like email me things like, oh, man, this is great. You know, did you hear, you know, Glenn Beck was talking about the pyramids and the reptiles and stuff. And you're like, what? Then you got to go and you got to listen and hear for yourself, and it'll be some kind of weird.
Where he's getting,
you know,
somewhere
twisted
else on
thing.
It, right?
You know, and I don't know much.
That's that Facebook thing. That's what I'm talking about. Not necessarily Facebook, but that network deal where it's like, I didn't really listen to it, but okay, he's talking about the pyramids. And wait a minute, wasn't Jesse talking about pyramids? So that's kind of right on, right? Because Jesse told me about this like years ago, and I actually had a long conversation with you, and you kind of enlightened me to some things and da-da-da. So if he's talking about that, then maybe I need to give him a listen. And he just said that Obama's a socialist, part of like trying to take my Bible from me. Okay, then he's got to be right on. And they make that connection without ever having listened to him. And then it gets reinforced because it starts, you know, it's that echo chamber.
I don't know. I like to think that people, you know, at least some of the people I know that really go to bat for stuff, you know, I know guys that.
But do you really think they're listening to it and then saying, and then posting these things that you're like?
Well, they watch it. Maybe they watch it in a clip or something. I don't know. But I mean, I don't know if it's. Because I never took MSNBC serious. And I know that CNN at one time was the most trusted name in news, right?
Right.
But
it was the only name in cable
news.
Right.
Ted Turner, right? Or was it Ed Turner? I always got him confused.
Ted Turner.
Two
he got
them.
His first. He was first, so that.
But
that
no,
was
but
how
there's. But the thing is, I mean, I heard this whole thing on Fox. It was incredible. You know, cause I don't know how they do things down at CNN. And I don't particularly like any of them. But at Fox, it really. So, like, every single morning, 7 days a week, even on Sundays, Roger Ailes has a meeting. Mm-hmm. And if he's not there physically, then they have him on conference call. And every single morning, he's got a log. He's got a list of everybody who was at that meeting. Every single person who heard what he said. Nothing that he says at the meeting can leak out whatsoever. And if it does leak out, what he actually said, when they're talking about, you know, what stories they're going to be talking about today and what position they're going to take on them. And what he actually says is not quite what goes on air. But right. If anything leaks, he has a piece of paper.
Who was in that
and
room.
And he goes to everybody and interrogates them and makes sure that nothing leaks out of this conference. And sometimes when the Fox anchors are live arguing with someone, they have a little wire in their ear. Sometimes he'll call in all mad and be like, patch me in right now. And they'll put Roger Ailes right in the earpiece and he'll be saying it verbatim. He'll be telling the anchor verbatim what to say. And they'll be telling him what to say. And sometimes he'll call in and say, you need to take this position on this. So to me, I can't, after hearing that, and I've heard that before, but I guess it was just, I heard this thing on Fox a while back that I was just like, wow, it really isn't, you know, they call it, you know, fair and balanced and this and that, but it really just seems to me that it's not even to be taken seriously. I mean, we already knew that we can't take Fox seriously, but it's one man's news channel.
Right, and that's the news.
One man's news channel.
But wait, because that's the news channel, here is the power of Fox, in my opinion, when you talk about those big three, is that Fox always also has the non-cable interest in their network presence, right? Because my wife watches the local news and she likes the little local Fox team, right? And they're all funny and haha giddy giddy, but every half hour or so, I can't remember what the time frame is, but they have this Doug Lujader, I can't remember his name, but it's a Fox guy who does. He's a guy you may have seen. There was a viral clip once where he had fallen asleep because he does the local news in every city in America, right? Like, that's his job, is to sit there and be like, hey, Lauren, yeah, this is what's going on in Washington. And he rolls his eyes and he does the whole, you know, can you believe these liberals kind of guy, but much more subtle, right? He doesn't say Obama's a socialist, but he says the president, while he rolls his eyes, says this or that. You know what I mean? So he's injecting that into people who don't watch Fox News, right? But keeping them primed, like you were saying earlier, Ben, about, you know, you're trained to just hate somebody that has a different opinion of you. You know what I mean? Or trained, that training is so pervasive, because, like, if they're having a meeting, like you're saying, for a Fox News channel, I'm sure that guy's in on it. Because he's plugged into as many people as the Fox channel is easily. Because he's got whatever million people in Kansas City and then the St. Louis Fox channel and all these little channels that this guy comes in and just kind of continuously pumps that stuff into them. And people like my wife who don't follow the national news, watch these the news networks and all that stuff, if that's all that they're getting is they're just getting that subtle layer of, you know, a certain slanted viewpoint or point from a certain slant.
Well, that's the thing that's the most enraging, the thing that's just the worst about the whole thing. It's not even Fox and not the stuff, but it's just, you know, Facebook, the internet, all this stuff. The stuff I see, it's almost gotten to the point where it's like, the things, I'm not saying Obama is some, you know, model, you know,
right,
president or whatever. But it just seems to me that, like, if you want to talk about liberals and conservatives, it seems to me that, like, and I'm not a Democrat, but it just seems to me that they kind of, Democrats, when all the stuff that was happening 8 years prior to Obama, you know, you know, the Democrats would try to make their point. They'd be like, this is preposterous, or this is, why are we doing this? But then when they got defeated, they were like, okay, this is how it works. We got to,
but sucks,
these people,
but we'll get you next time,
are freaking out. Some of the stuff you see that, you know, Obama should be impeached for this, that, and the other thing, he hasn't passed even close to half the executive orders that, you know, that the Bush administration did. Most of the stuff that people are upset with Obama about is Bush administration stuff. And all these people that are saying that, you know, the country is going down the toilet and we need to take it. I mean, think about this. And I said this to Ben a long time ago. The Dixie Chicks.
Right.
They go up and they say, we're ashamed of our president, and their career almost gets ended.
Right.
Ted Nugent can take a flaming arrow and shoot it at a picture of Obama and his family and his dog, and it blows up.
Wow.
And, you know, they got all the stuff, and that's and that's considered cool. And,
and if you even complain about it, it's like, it's free speech. Come on, don't be a Nazi.
But the thing is, it's the ignorance, because if you talk to people about this, you're like, okay, I understand that you feel this way. You know, Obama's really wrecking the country, and we're really going down the toilet fast. Name me a modern history Republican president who left office and left America better than he found it. Because you can look at Nixon, you can look at Reagan, you can look at Herbert Walker.
People would tell you Reagan, though.
You can look at, they'll be like, you ask my dad, who my dad, you know, he considers himself a conservative, but you'd be like, hey, Dad, you think Reagan was a good president, right? And my dad would be like, are you kidding me? When I think of Reagan, I think of financing my first house at 32%. Reagan was a great president. You know, that's what my dad would tell you, you know. I got my first home loan at 32%. That's what I think of when I think of Reagan. You know, things like that are...
Right. And that's bad for the record.
Well, I mean, you know, they, anybody.
I think now it's like 7 or 8%.
For all you renters out there, that's bad. No, it's less than that.
It was. It was like 22% or something. I don't know what it was, but it was extremely high.
Crazy.
Now, and you know, and it's funny. I was just actually just talking to a fellow that we know down at the shop. He, his parents got laid off. He was talking about how Reagan was a scumbag because he fired all the air traffic controllers,
right,
and his parents got fired because that's what they did, you know, which is funny. My mom, she thinks Reagan is a hero because she was an air traffic controller in the Navy, and even back in little old 1981, women were not allowed in the FAA.
Right.
And then when Reagan fired them all, he's like, you know what the hell, let's hire women. Why not? And my mom was one of the first women in the FAA, so she looks at Reagan as this, like, champion of, you know, women's rights.
Liberal bastion,
you know.
Right.
Yeah, you know, letting the women in the FAA, you know, God forbid she didn't have to wait tables.
Well, it's so funny that they...
it's all perspective.
Right. Well, but it's...
But you can look at the facts.
It's like they come in because it helps another... Yeah, yeah. No, I
anytime someone wants to say Benghazi, you know, you can say, you know, you can talk about a lot of stuff that happened in the 80s. That, you know... They would put Obama on the wall and burn him at the stake for some of the things that have been done. But you just look at the way the country was after Nixon, the way the country was after Reagan,
right?
You know, and after Herbert and after W. And I mean, nobody, any conservative, you know, they'll just keep arguing with you,
right?
But you just say, well, like, oh,
yeah,
because really,
it's like Carter was
here.
Carter sucked because he was a liberal, and you see what happened. But it's like, I don't know what you. Yeah, I mean, you had a Vietnam War to pay for, so I would think that that would have an effect on the economy, similar to a decade of war.
You guys are a bunch of liberal douchebags.
Well, that's the problem.
Yeah.
That is the problem. And it's, well, and I like how you said, you know, I sometimes get mad because I end up having to defend Obama when it's like,
I don't hate the guy.
Couldn't we talk about the merit of what he did or that? And then I could join with you in challenging him. But when you do these things, like, okay, so like yesterday, I happened to be looking at, I think it was the Fox channel. It really doesn't matter. It's how you present something. Like, okay, so the State of the Union speech, one of the things that he said was that I'm going to not wait for Congress, and I'm going to use executive
orders. To raise the minimum wage.
To raise the minimum wage, and it's going
impeach
to affect
him.
All the folks who do government contracts, right?
Impeach
so
him.
if you are, so I'm watching the news this morning, and the person I was watching the news with, I like asked, I said, so because I started going like, I can't believe it. Because the guy, he's talking about, and he's like, so he's going to, you know, they're going to have to deal with this because he's going to use executive orders. What's that going to do? Like, give the dishwashers at the Senate and the House a raise? Like, that's it. Like all you're going to do is give like this little piddly.
That's an impeachable
people.
Offense.
But in reality, if you go there are thousands Congress. Of people. We have bases all over the place. So for you to raise the minimum wage for those folks, to me, is a lot larger item, right? Whether you're for it or against it, it's a larger item than the dishwashers at the Senate or the House. Because that sounds like, yeah, he's talking about doing this thing that's only going to affect, you know, 20 people max. And it's like, no, we're talking about something that's going to affect millions of folks.
If you bypass Congress to, say, go to, you know, a war somewhere or to drop some bombs, which, you know,
right.
I know has been done.
Right.
And it turns out that it was an aspirin plant, which I think, you know, is something that's happened in the past under a Democratic president. But then, or if you're, you know, you think about the things that W did. And that's the other thing I love telling conservatives.
And
all these conservatives
father.
Are like, Hitler, Obama's just like, Hitler, he's taking over. We got to watch it. He's taking too much power. And it's like, well, did you just start paying attention to politics yesterday?
That's
because
the problem.
You understand that all this stuff that Obama is allowed to do that you think is Hitler-esque was all made possible. It was all brought to you in part by the former administration. You weren't paying. You need to go back and read your Patriot Act, because you don't know now that the president and the vice president and these people, they have more power than ever. So it was like W put all these things in power. And you remember back 10 years ago, we were all like, well, what does this mean? W's going to try. I bet you he's president forever.
I could
see in 2008 something weird. Yep. Remember we say that? We're like, something weird's going to happen in 2008.
Right.
And we're going to wake up in 2009 and W's
There's
still going to
be president.
Right. But no, he just did his time.
Yep.
He changed all the rules.
And then
now
they
Obama.
Forward. Right.
Obama is, you know, everything that a conservative, flag-sucking half-wit kind of, you know, person wants to say is like, you know, well, you know, Obama's doing this, Obama's doing this.
Yeah,
you know, Obama's just like Hitler, man. He's going to take our guns, and he's going to bypass Congress. He's going to raise minimum wage. You believe that? Raise minimum wage.
Right.
Just like Hitler.
Just like Hitler did.
You know? Just like Hitler.
He's going to reform immigration just like Hitler.
Yeah. He's
going to give
man, did you hear he did away with
like
light
Hitler.
Bulbs? You know, Obama did away with light bulbs,
so
man.
Did Hitler.
You're not going to be able to get, like, actual light bulbs. They're going to be those twirly liberal ones. You know what I'm talking about?
And
so
that's,
did Hitler.
And while that's true, that wasn't Obama.
Yeah. So, he's taking advantage of all the things that were made possible. So I tell people this. I'm like, you know, if this really concerns you, instead of signing your petition to, impeach Obama, why don't you write, Richard Ashcroft a nice letter?
John
Ashcroft. Yeah, why don't you write him
a nice
letter?
Write his brother. He'll pass it
Write
on.
Him a letter. You know, let freedom soar. You know, there's plenty of people that you can write letters to. It's like, you know, I don't get it. You know, they think that Obama just came in and he's like, all right, I'm changing the rules here.
right. And it's like he works
well,
for the same.
What you're missing
people.
Is that it's the people support these political parties and ideologies like they do football teams.
Right.
Sure.
You know?
Based on the colors of the uniform and the... And that rather than, like, you love Peyton Manning today, but when he was the quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts, beating the Broncos, they hated him. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
If I woke up tomorrow and they said that, through some fluke, Peyton Manning was transferring to the Chiefs, he'd be, you know, it would be the number one selling jersey in Kansas City tomorrow.
Or if by some fluke A-Rod started playing ball for
the Royals, right?
You'd be a fan
of Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah, dude, you'd be all about it.
I don't think so.
Especially if he was making the team win.
I really don't think so. I don't think any of that would actually happen.
You don't like Alex Rodriguez?
Does his own mother like him?
I don't know anything about the guy actually. He's still making money off of, like, the only thing I know about him was he got at that time the highest contract, right?
Yeah.
And it was for like 15 years or something. So they're still in it.
Contract.
It was like $100 million or something.
But
like
they're
that?
Still in that contract,
like
right?
Million or something like that.
They're still in that. That's the only thing I know about when he became that famous and AKA good. Apparently
but that's the point, though.
AKA
it's like
good.
So. if the game is football or if the game is politics, you know, I mean, it's just who cares? It's not a matter of the integrity or anything. Like, it's who wins. Right. And I'm going to go out there and I'm going to defend my team no matter what. I mean, you know, you remember when the Patriots got in all that trouble for spying and being, you know, a bunch of cheats? I mean, do you think Patriot fans stop being Patriot fans?
Right.
Like, wow. I realize that these people, Bill Belichick's an unethical piece of crap.
They're like, you see, we're an educated town here.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Don't hate us because we got Yaleys on the sideline here, exactly. You know?
It's one of those things. All right. So 15 minutes until the top of the hour. It'll be 3 o'clock right here on Community Radio. And somebody's actually calling in, so we'll see if that was not a mistake, or we'll give them directions to knuckleheads or whatever it is. At 816-931-553-4931-KKFI, you're on the radio.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's talk about radio for a minute. You all have my interest when you talk about radio. I'm a very big radio fan. I watch very little or no television. But let's talk about we talk about liberals and conservatives. My name is Craig, by the way, and I'm in Northtown. Let's talk about liberal media and conservative media for a minute. I happen to be a libertarian, and when I start talking to conservatives, the first thing that comes out of my mouth is, oh, conservatives have, and I'm talking about mainstream now, not KKFI or 90.9 The Bridge or KCUR. I'm talking about mainstream media. The radio, if you go up and down the dial and you listen to talk shows, you find that talk shows are run by conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I go to television, guess who has the market in television? Liberals do. You have CNN, CNBC, and several others, and you have Fox. On the radio, you have Fox. You have stations that run Rush Limbaugh, and they don't run Sean Hannity anymore. Some of them run Michael Savage and others.
You know, Sean Hannity's still alive and kicking strong on radio. I've heard him in all kinds of markets.
All
this hoopla. This is pitting one group against another, and we're going to have to start being careful about that one.
Right.
Are you saying that type of mentality leads to, I don't know, 20th century Europe or something like that? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah. And let's look at the record on presidencies. Let's pick conservatives because I tend to lean a little more toward that. So I'm going to pick on them first. When the towers fell, if you listen to George Bush, I have never seen a less emotional person in my life. All he could do was talk about the terrorists. He couldn't talk about the families. He couldn't talk about, now he might have mentioned it at first, but he went on and on and on about the terrorists. You know, and evil, and John Ashcroft was another one. If you talk about terrorists, if you bring up a conspiracy, you are a terrorist. In other words, what they were saying was, if you don't side with us,
if you don't believe what we're saying, right? Yeah.
They said it as much.
Then he turned and looked at the camera and said, "Now watch this drive."
Yeah. There you go.
That was 9-9.
Now let's talk about the other side. When Bill Clinton went into Kosovo, the United Nations NATO had changed its stance from a defensive to an offensive posture in April of 1999, their 50th anniversary, they changed from a defensive to an offensive stance. They have no business doing that, okay? So, you know, with all the hoopla that's going on, and people just get upset when you tell them that. You've got to listen to the facts. Ronald Reagan what did he do? I appreciated the Strategic Defense Initiative. I thought that could have helped us a lot. Let me give you another example. Just a couple of days ago, in fact, on the 28th of January, the Challenger, that was the day the Challenger blew up in 1986. So it's been about 15 years. The 1st of February was the 10th anniversary of the loss of Columbia. Now, when they asked Barry Goldwater, and Barry Goldwater had mellowed out by quite a bit. I mean, he had mellowed out. But they asked him, is it worth going into space? And Barry Goldwater's response was extremely good. He said, yes, it is, because we can put a satellite in orbit that can watch for any aggression, and if there's aggression against one of our allies or against a free nation, we can pick up the phone, call that nation, and say, we see what you're doing, and most of the time they will stop it. That is not shooting guns, you know, and or anything else like that. What he was implying was that's the best possible solution to a war. Now, normally that would be a liberal stance. And by the way, who has put out more social programs, who's voted for more social programs starting in the 1960s? It's been Republicans, Everett Dirksen, and on it goes. So all this hoopla from conservatives and liberals needs to stop. We need to start looking at the facts.
Right. So
we need to take the emotion out of it.
The moral of the story is that it's a false left-right paradigm, that there's an illusion that there's a difference. But when we really look at it, Washington is a corporate-run town. It's a corporate party.
I think we have Nixon took us off the gold standard. He was a Republican.
Well, Nixon, as you may well know, as Gary Allen put forth in his book, None Dare Call a Conspiracy, governed as a liberal because everyone thought he was a conservative, and it was a perfect cover. And it's the same way that, you know, Barack Obama gets to perpetuate drone warfare in the military-industrial complex when everyone that voted him in did not want that. But he gets to do it.
You won't see it coming. You know, that's what he told them. You won't see it coming. And what's up with that?
Well, that is I believe, called a mind game.
Well,
and it's a manipulation of things. And when you ultimately, the problem that is ultimately had is when you have a situation where people who have different mindsets, viewpoints, opinions, political stripes, whatever, cannot even get to the point where they can agree on one thing.
Society is so mixed up, we cannot even have a decent standard.
Because what you find is that people who listen to certain types of media are trained to hate, are trained to just go ahead and judge and be as bigoted as possible about somebody that disagrees with them. And there's this notion that in America, that's appropriate, that in America that you need to have absolute control over the agenda to get anything accomplished, when in fact it's supposed to be a republic. People are supposed to be represented. You're supposed to have compromise. You're supposed to have coalition. You're supposed to have people work together.
Well, and what's bad about that is you can't set standards so people can live by them, because everybody wants their own, they want to do it their way.
And what's really happening when that entire conversation is being had, or non-conversation is being had, and it's just a bunch of people on either side of a room saying that they're ready to rumble and fight and not work together, is that you have the real powers that be just running everything. I mean,
they're just fitting one group against another.
Correct. And what you have is, instead of the people being represented ultimately, you get the moneyed interests represented. The corporate interests are the only ones that get represented. And that's really where we're at right now.
And we walked away from going to the moon and going into space, which has provided us, literally all kinds of things that have made things better, heart monitors and things that have allowed us to help people all over the world. It used to be this country, and I love this country, still do, wouldn't live anywhere else. I don't care to go anywhere else, and I'm not bigoted against other people. I just like my country. But we used to be good, and now we're afraid. We're walking away from things that made us not only good, but great. Martin Luther King, a lot of people don't like Martin Luther King, but he made us aware of what we were doing wrong.
Fair enough. And it's that criticism to think and speak critically about something is to, care about it.
Have you heard of Steve Allen?
The comedian?
Yeah.
Okay.
One of his big gripes was that we didn't do critical thinking because we're not taught how.
No, and there's truth to that, isn't there?
Well, there is truth to that, and here's a comedian, and a lot of people would consider him quite liberal. But here he is. When are we going to stop? And I have friends that are very close to me. They're conservatives, and I love them to pieces. But I have gotten into very heated, heated discussions with them because of some of the things that you're discussing.
Right.
Let's get things, and it isn't just working together to work together.
Liberal's just another word for nothing left to lose.
My friend, we appreciate your phone call and your insights. You take care and have a great day.
Ben, you're doing a great job. Keep it up.
All right. A couple minutes before the hour 3 right here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City.
I have come to set you free.